Hi, I'm Ryan.
And I'm Kyle.
And I'm Jason, the creator of the Army Showcase. And in front of me are the Zerg, the pinnacles of evolution. And in front of Ryan and Kyle, we've got the Protoss and the Terrans, the pinnacles of, well, hopefully they got answers for you on this episode of the Tabletop Battlefield. Welcome back to Season 2 of the Tabletop Battlefield, the official podcast of Army Showcase at www.tabletopbattlefield.com. And before we dive into our main topic, I just want to touch on one kind of sad news fact that, seeing that the fact this comes out, by the time this comes out, you've probably either heard about it or you just don't care. But Mongoose Publishing, the makers of Babylon 5 strategy game, or the tabletop miniatures game, has decided to cancel production of the miniatures of that game, effectively killing it for all intents and purposes. Well, I guess they're still going to produce the rule books, and they're still going to kind of support it in their online magazine, but they basically, all the coolest figures, the things that made the Babylon 5 game so freaking awesome, they basically just killed the coolest part of the best space combat game out there, so, which is...
Ooh. Did they give a reason why they were canceling
They said, too expensive. So I guess they literally have every ship from the Babylon 5 universe, so I mean, it's really expensive to produce all that stuff, and it's not selling all that well, and... obviously they can't support it anymore. Which, it's really unfortunate in terms of timing, because I know myself and Ryan here, I'm kind of odd about one playing the game, because I never actually watched Babylon 5 before I played the game. I played it because of the cool space combat. And then I finally I had a gift card away, so I bought the Season 3 DVDs, and then eventually Season 4 DVDs, and yeah, I'm basically in this mood, I want to play Babylon 5 like a lot, and they go ahead and decide to cancel the game on me. So
isn't
it's like,
that the funny thing, though, that I am the one who watched Babylon 5 with a passion and never got the game?
Yeah.
And you got the game without watching Babylon 5?
Yeah, because all the people when I play the game with in the stores always talk about the show, how cool like the different factions, and I'm like, yeah, that makes sense, I guess, I think so. But yeah, it's actually a fantastic show if you've never seen it.
Yeah, I enjoy the show. I don't know about the game. I've never played it, but the show is awesome.
I think I will be willing to say it's the best science fiction television show I've ever seen. Far better than Star Trek. Though Star Trek is an awesome show, don't get me wrong. This is better than Star Trek, I think.
Their storyline throughout the series.
They've basically got story arcs that last almost two full seasons sometimes.
Yeah. Even longer.
Even longer?
Oh, even longer. They bring out stuff that you... don't see until like three seasons later.
We haven't watched the first season yet.
Oh, absolutely.
It'll be fun. I'll pick up some more stuff later. But all right, enough talking about that. So let's just dive right into our main topic, I guess. I don't know.
Which is
StarCraft Tactics. I talked about this back episode 4 a little bit. I made up a bunch of numbers, wrote some stuff on the board behind me.
So we heard about it, and we want to write some stuff on the board too.
Yes. So, we actually did a nice refresher game. We haven't played in about a month. We got some really cool action going. Probably our best game up to this point.
This was definitely the smartest game we've played.
This is good.
Everyone was being aggressive, and everyone was playing pretty well. So, I'm going to just basically kind of feed my own ego and pretend they all read my cool strategy articles and watch the show, and that's how they learned how to be so awesome.
Sure.
Just don't answer that. It's probably better for the
best. I'm sorry. If I actually watched half the stuff... we produced.
I politely asked you to answer the question.
Yeah, I would have.
I politely asked you to not answer the question.
We're going to answer the question anyway, though.
I can keep talking. You want to say something?
Oh, fine. No,
if you want to rag on me, I'm more than allow it.
I wasn't even going with ragging. I was going to say that if I had watched it, I would have known what you guys were going to do to me the previous game.
That's true.
And I would have been prepared. So it's not even ragging on you, kid.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't think any type of preparation could have prepared you for what we gave you, though.
But the funny thing is, I came pretty close to winning.
Yeah, you did. did. Yeah.
If it wasn't for a dumb mistake, but that's part of tactics,
of course.
We all
made a couple of dumb mistakes.
Okay, so anyway.
It was just dumb luck that won it, too.
All right, let's go.
Yeah, basically.
So
I'll still stand by my point that I strategically tanked the game and tried to let Ryan win, but that's beside the point. So what we're going to do here is we've got individual factions.
I hate having crutch. It's just...
That's interesting. Okay. So I've got the Zerg. We're going to have... Kyle, we talk about the Protoss. So I'm going to ask Ryan to comment on the Zerg now. He played it the first time here.
Yeah.
And then both you guys are kind of work together on the Protoss. I said that wrong, didn't I?
Yes, I am working on the Terrans, and I can also give some input on the Protoss along with Ryan.
Yes. So let's go ahead. We'll decide what order we're going to do it in. So if you guys want to skip ahead to the faction you specifically play as, We'll do that, and I'll put the little details in the show notes about, you know, about what time the various discussions start. So I got three tokens here. They got the build, the research, and the research. Build, research, and attack. Build, research, and wait, yeah.
Oh, this is rough.
Immobilize.
Yes. Okay. Mobilize goes first. Build goes second. Research goes third. I'll be Zerg, Terran, and Protoss for all kinds of purposes. So I said mobilize first, build second, research third. About maybe 10, 11 minutes each.
What about mobilize first, build second, research third? Because it's
that's what I said, didn't I?
No, you did. You said build the second time.
Yeah. Okay.
The second time you said
so
build.
So we're
going to
go what's on the sheet. I like Ryan's line of thinking here. Mobilize, build,
sometimes
research.
Sometimes I have good thoughts. Doesn't come too often, but...
Okay. Research, I'm going last.
Mobilize.
Build.
Okay, Protoss it is. So let's go ahead. We'll start off about a 10-minute
counter.
According
to Jason's logic, that'd be best for last.
Yes. Yes, it would. You better believe it would. Okay, let's go, Ryan. Give yourself about 10 minutes or so.
Okay.
And well, you can jump in if you want to talk about some stuff. I mean, maybe I won't shout up either.
If he needs to ask me anything, he can ask me.
Or you can interject if he wants
yes.
to. What was the faction called?
Your Protoss.
Protoss. You just played every game except for this one.
Oh, boy.
Hey, I'm not familiar with names yet. But I know the section was Solaris, right?
So well, that's Mech Warrior. It's oh. Solaris.
I have no clue what it was.
Apparently
okay.
I will have to,
okay, I don't know names, but when I...
Alaridus, yeah, I think you're playing Alaridus and Castle.
Aldaris.
Aldaris, okay, I don't even know the names.
It ended with an S, thank you.
Protoss suck. Okay, so
that's
anyway.
That's because you gotta use them strategically differently than you would do with the
yeah,
Zerg.
Yeah, the Zerg are a club, you beat people with them.
Because technically...
I don't
with,
have to think, I beat.
With, yeah. with this faction... You have to start out being defensive and then end up being aggressive at the end.
No, I interject
well,
that. Started, that.
Well, you can interject. Oh, go ahead.
Okay, because...
Well, different philosophies.
Well,
so
I believe that the whole point is to gain the proper places on the worlds.
Okay.
Not necessarily you will be attacking.
A bold strategy.
Attacking, but in this case, you want to pick points where you can... create the most effective attack to continue on when you actually get your actual good units like the carrier. I believe in this case where I had the nice, ability was these two plants were connected and it was connected in the middle where I could focus my forces.
Yeah, so that's a deployment issue. You got the two planets, you obviously want to focus on one, yeah.
Where, in this case, where I can move them both at the same time.
So what about how to use the actual individual units? The Zealots, the Dragoons, the Scouts, the Carriers, the Templars?
Zealots are, unfortunately, I think, mainly a defensive... unless you have multiple different units, the Zealots themselves are, unfortunately, just good for defensive purposes.
Well, they're pretty much rock. They're the rock-solid basic guys. They have upwards of 7 defense.
Yes, exactly. I think the most important thing is to actually combine what I've been realizing recently, the abilities of the assists of the...
Arbiter,
yes.
About names here.
Yeah.
You played StarCraft for years, and you still don't know the bloody names.
I haven't played StarCraft in a long time.
Hey, I feel better now.
Oh, thank
but
you.
As far as going back to defense, I feel that... You keep your defense, and one thing I noticed right away when I chose the faction is that you have an awesome special ability that at the end of the game can come out, and you can just totally win it by just holding your ground. Mm-hmm. It's like 1 out of 3 games.
Yes and no. That's because if you just hold your ground, though, you got to think in this way. If you hold your ground, the other people get their special victory. So by the time stage 3 comes around, it's going to take a while for those two Endraneers cards to pop up.
And...
So you almost got to be more aggressive to the Protoss.
And one way what I would change is I would build a strong defense like the first couple turns, build up my fleet, and then start attacking to gain more ground.
Yeah.
I think that's why I changed because when I first started out with them, I would just build everything up, and then I wouldn't have any time to attack before everybody had gained points and then won the game. So I think that's one thing I would change is be more aggressive but start out as building up my defending and building up and then attacking.
Because I want to. Can I just rehash one thing that I did from an old episode where we were talking about how you had your planetary deployment here? Where you basically, you know, the idea was, well, okay, that actually is not a situation I want to talk about. Anyway, keep talking. I withdraw my comment. No,
strategy for this game that we're playing right now, Jason?
No, it's not. I withdraw my comment at this time. I was not thinking clearly.
Curious.
Keep talking.
Okay. Apparently, whatever it was.
I was thinking of a different scenario set up than what we had. I'm sorry.
One question I want to ask you. What do you think about skirmishes with these guys?
These guys, Jason, unfortunately, need to be deployed in limited skirmishes. You gotta be able to attack and then create a defensive area wherever you attack. Like in this case, which what I did against you this time was I created a situation after you had taken over my command point. I took it back and built up a base.
And you did that brilliantly. I mean, that was
so that you would not attack immediately, where I could also bring in more guys from my reinforcement position.
It's almost more of an aggression by position instead of aggression by killing.
That's what the protests, I believe, are. Aggression by position, because they can build up powerful units, but they cannot really expand them.
In the StarCraft universe, these are really smart fellows,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they're above and beyond the most intelligent of the three. Okay. Not that... of course, Overmind's all seeing.
That would make sense that...
it's more intelligent than the sum of all of them.
The creators of this game would use, would have them in place for that kind of strategy. Mm-hmm. So that makes sense.
Okay.
What about the technology? What do you like to use it for, technology-wise?
Technology I haven't used too much. I preferred the increased carrier capacity.
Yes, definitely.
And what did you like, the Archons? You loved the Archons.
Yes, Archons are beasts. Yes.
They are beasts.
They are awesome.
But I'm noticing, like, cloaking and stasis from the Arbiters.
Those I didn't really use.
You know, I was trying to, and recall, that's what I was trying to play in this position, because if you can use stasis, you can't attack, I can't attack, if I'm in a poor situation, and that means...
You basically buy yourself the win for that.
It's for defense, for defense purposes, proving that defense is what they're passively aggressive. More so.
Now, Jason, I don't know if you explain this. Explain ground splash damage, if you haven't explained it already.
Oh, okay. How that works is we resolve skirmishes, essentially where you've got a set of, well, it doesn't matter if it's frontline units or not, but if a guy has splash damage, whether it be ground or air, if that person kills somebody, at the end of the resolving all the damage, if there's still an enemy unit left, at least one enemy unit left, another enemy unit just dies.
Unless it has limits on the ground splash ability.
There's certain, like, you know, like some say only Zealots or Marines or Zerglings or something. So, I mean, that could be really costly towards the Protoss, because, you know, one Zealot, you lose one Zealot, you're down two Minerals, you lose a Zergling, you're down one. So some, I don't know, who was it? The Firebats have that, for example. Vultures do, I think.
For just the smaller units?
Yeah, for smaller units.
Smaller units, yes, they
Siege
have it.
Siege Tanks obviously have it for all units.
And then what else had it? There was one other one that ground splash damage that was the minimum. Was it a Zerg unit?
Yes, the Mutalisks.
It was the Mutalisks.
So it's a lot more intelligent unit choices how you're going to deploy your units. It's like where I can just kind of take my Zerg and throw whatever one at it, and who cares? Something will happen.
Yes.
It's obviously less, more critical for you when you lose a guy versus me losing somebody.
Mm-hmm. Hence the swarming.
Yes.
And one thing about these guys, it does take a little longer, a little bit more time to build up your forces, too.
Yes, just because it costs more.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So you got to play that into strategy as well.
With your 15, how many drones do you have going over there? Do you
have all
15?
I have
15
all 15. I built up all 15. That was my key goal, was making sure that I had enough drones. Because I was going to deploy the mineral carriers next.
How many turns did you do that in? Like four?
Three or four turns?
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah, because if you get your big guys out with the Protoss, you're going to do a lot of damage. Those carriers and reavers and archons are all just absolute beasts. They're the most powerful units in the game. They'll wipe the floor of everybody.
Absolutely. Have a combination of one or, you know, two or more of those guys, you're going to do some damage.
That's the one thing I was going to comment on. The idea of the unified front, I talked about this a little bit back in episode 4, in case, episode 4, I don't know if you watched it or not, but it was the idea with especially the Protoss, where you want to basically keep it so the guys can't attack your home planet. So if you want to keep myself and Ryan away from building a base here, so we can't actually directly affect your planets. So you basically, you'd fight us here, and if you're able to beat us here, then you know we can't, you don't have to leave as many troops back here in these two planets.
Absolutely.
Now you've got your limited troops are being more concentrated in one area. So you got the limited troops, but you want to kind of keep them all concentrated.
Oh, absolutely. And that's where I played really smart with my deployment. I was able to keep these, you know, only connecting each other and connected to a middle one where I could focus my main troops.
So if you needed to, you could swing guys back and forth pretty quickly.
Oh, absolutely. And that's what this nice Arbiter can do with recall. You know, summon units back.
Yeah, if you need
to. Nice carrier. Oh, the carrier came back.
Yep.
He's dead. So that's, I believe, the main focus on the protest is passive. You know, you want to be aggressive, but only in small amounts.
Definitely not like the Zerg.
Not overextending yourself by any means.
Because you can do it very easily. Because, you know, as soon as you start getting one, two units by themselves, the other guys have the superior numbers and will swarm you. And also, keep in mind, like, if we start getting like evolution chambers up or the other kind of bonus things to give you those yellow attack cards, then we start even in our attacks or defense. And episode 4 for more of those number issues. Well, unfortunately, we managed to stumble through that for about 10 minutes.
Was that past 10 minutes?
Just barely. I don't know. We did it.
Seconds. So, well, I guess we talked about something that was useful, I hope.
Hopefully.
If not, you enjoyed us rambling on for 10 minutes.
I'm going to get back to the bloody clock. Yeah, that button. Okay, so you want to go to Terrans next?
Well, unfortunately, in this last game, I was not able to play as the Terrans because I wanted to try the Protoss, haven't played too much as them. But they are definitely my favorite group in the game and...
Both board games and computer game. You all ever played. You play Protoss a time and time in the computer game. Most
but
of
I love
Terrans.
The Terrans. My favorite thing to do with them is build fast, build up one structure, like maybe, and then the technologies, for instance, either maybe the spaceport or the barracks, build that up quickly, and then get the technology for nuke, get the cloaking technology.
That's rough.
And then just nuke them.
He just likes to nuke.
Basically. I mean, that is a great card. I mean, there's only one of them.
Yeah.
But it's well worth it. And during that time, you defend yourself in other places, and you just attack, and you try to cause the most collateral damage you can to then take over. You're never taking over the first time with your attack, I noticed, with the Terrans. Usually, you will pretty much weaken their forces to almost nothing. Then you take over, conquer the whole planet, but you quickly spread to the next one. You don't want to sit and wait. Because with the Terrans, unfortunately, unlike the Protoss, their units are usually maxed out by the time you can take over a planet that you can't build any more guys.
Would you say the Terrans are like in between the Protoss and the Zerg?
Yeah, to some extent. I mean, I think in some extent they're more defensible than the Protoss. Numbers-wise, the Protoss are obviously large numbers. In terms of like strength numbers. But the Terrans have more units than the Protoss, more combat units, 27 and 21 as I counted a while back. So that almost makes you harder to dislodge.
Unfortunately, that's their cards are a lot weaker, though. You notice that when I get attacked, it doesn't matter if I have that many guys. You generally can take them almost all out.
Yeah, because numerically, you are weaker. I'm mixing numbers up here. Strength-wise, how strong the guys are, yes, you are weaker. Numerically, in terms of how many there are, there's more of you. Because the reason why that's important in a lot of these places where you got your base, and we're trying to dislodge you from in position of a base, the Protoss really have a harder time doing that because, you know, my train of thought.
Are you freezing up now?
I just derailed. I literally just derailed.
Well, there's the train.
That's the first time I've ever seen Jason do that.
Okay.
Live, you know, that's awesome.
This has been horrible for me. Hopefully I got a decent talk about the Zerg.
I can understand because usually you would have less numbers with the Protoss.
Plus, especially defensive for the base, the bunkers.
The bunkers are important. your
gives you guys 8 defenses for something like that?
Possibility
eight
of 8
defenses.
There's
a plus 3 defense, right?
Yes, yeah, so plus, okay. What, 2?
Plus 2 or 3, I don't know, look at the cards. I think it's 3, though. But keep talking.
So, their good is plus 3 to health. So, they can't be dislodged immediately, but generally, you know, most of the guys will be wiped out and you can't, you know, build enough strong enough guys that you can last more than a turn. And that's why I like to spread out, you know, past that. Because, yes, there are harder, you know, dislodge at times. But at the same time, you know, if their focused attack is on that one area, they're going to be gone in 2 turns. Mm-hmm. Like, the Protoss, still with their strength, if there are 2 guys stayed alive, then there's still 2 guys there. Unlike if there's, you know, 3 guys on the base and 2 of them die from the attack for the Terrans.
So, well, one of my recommendations for fighting the Terrans is splash damage. Brings or spawn Broodlings, because, you know, even if you, like, especially when you're attacking a base where you got those bloody 8 defenses, and is it plus 2 or plus 3?
Plus 3.
Yeah, plus 3. So you got a freaking 8 defense. Even if you don't kill them initially, you still get, or someone else will probably kill somebody. Splash damage, it probably blow it up, or spawn Broodlings to blow it up, you know. So, bring some kind of special powers along to fight the Terrans.
The Terrans are great for also, during the attack, is their siege tanks. Siege tanks are
9,
critical against the Zerg. They are amazingly recommended by everything. Their splash damage, high attack and defense, can generally keep you in the battle, if not, you know, outright win it.
Yeah, just because you'll...
Now, talk about special victory conditions for them, because you do have
With Jim Raynor.
Jim Raynor is my favorite of the Terrans, because the most mineral fields you own, if you own, 6?
Six,
I think?
Yep.
It is 6. Which is just 2 planets.
You win those games.
Which is, on most...
It's not that hard to do. You don't even really have to be in a powerful position. Because you don't have to own lots of bases, really.
You just got
to be there.
You just got to, last, hold out. Keep some areas so you can keep on building. But the whole point at the very end is to spread out as quickly as you can in every single direction to take over as many mineral and resource gas fields that you can.
You can almost do a last turn grab. If your enemies leave a few spaces open, mobilize that planet, take 2 spaces. Uh-oh, I got 2 more resource spaces. Ha ha. Kaboom.
Case, this would be the best place for Terran. For that condition. Because if you have
I'm thinking Becquerel and Pridewater with all 3 minerals.
Well, I'm thinking because of this right here. This has...
Oh, 2 Well, 2 minerals and 2 control points.
Well, it's got to be minerals that you control, not anything.
Right there. Minerals.
Oh, no, it's resources. It's minerals or gas.
So I can go right to these 2. And then third one right there.
Oh, yeah. You're starting at a central place. So that's why if I were fighting against the Terrans, I want to box them in as quickly as possible. Cut them off their expanse, other minerals. Obviously, do it to anybody, but Jim Raynor
especially.
That's
not the place I would want to start, just because I would like something like this, I did initially. But for me would be to take over the center place. Yes. Once I have the center place, that's the place where I would bunker down, hold the fort, until I could find another, until the very end, where I'd capture a couple of resources.
A whole unified front idea.
Yeah.
Kyle, I just want to ask you a question. I'm looking at the unit cards, and I noticed that you don't have much assist units like the other factions do. Do you think that's a disadvantage or an advantage for your group?
Do you ever use the science vessels?
I've never used the science vessel. My
Is there
thing
a reason
has
for
been
it?
The reason. It's kind of a pain to depending on who you're fighting, it causes extra. Resources to, build the technology, have the technology for them, because with you guys, it's normally one's one group, the other's the other group.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, radiation only works on Terrans and, Zerg.
Yeah, so it's very easy to use.
And then, and the EMP only works for the Protoss, so I have to have...
Protoss? Or is it Protoss and Terran too? No?
Oh, I think it's Terran too.
Okay.
An EMP can take out Protoss?
Yeah, I don't know what like I don't know what does EMP do. I don't even know off the top of my head.
EMP.
But like
I thought we had
electromagnetic pulse.
Yeah. That's what it's just shuts people down.
Yeah.
Well, except my zero.
I know why.
Radiate, lockdown. That's what I'm thinking is lockdown probably. Lockdown.
No, there's EMP shockwave, yeah. It's
addition plus three attack versus an Archon. One plus versus any other protest.
Oh, so just protest.
So I mean it's great if you know, guys you're fighting on both protoss or both Zerg, but if there's both, you have to expand your research way more than you should have to.
And I want to comment on one disadvantage of the Terrans is that they have the most buildings of anybody. So, you know, like the Zerg have seven buildings. Anyway, I think that they have the most little, you know, these little tokens to build buildings up. So, I mean, you got to spend the most money to get all your units out because they also have the most diversity.
I don't know if they actually, I'd have to actually add the resources for the buildings because I think the Terrans are actually cheaper to build.
Numerically, they have the most, though.
But at the same time, you saw how quickly I was able to build the, you know, build up my bases the first couple times where you guys were like, what?
Because you can make the argument, because, you know, the special abilities are a lot of very specific certain circumstances to use them. Whereas, obviously, the buildings are more general use to crank out the units. They're more easy to use and apply in different situations.
And you also get more diversified units, which will help your cards.
And you can just, instead of, you know, spending money to get the special conditions, you can go ahead and just, like, general overwhelm, get the technology advantage over your enemies, and just mow them down.
Exactly.
The one game, you almost did that to me one game, like the second game we played, where I overstretched myself, and you built up the more advanced technology, and if it wasn't for that one crap card I pulled at the end that blew up your dropship.
Yeah.
You would have won the game, but I won instead.
Sometimes you just got to do with dumb luck.
Yeah.
Like I said in the last previous episode, you know, the first episode.
That's unfortunately at the end of every game, there's always going to be that certain element of dumb luck.
Yep. Which I like. That's one of the things I like about this game. So it got me my win.
All right. Wow. Stumble through another 10 minutes there.
Wow. That's pretty
Zerg, nice. Zerg time. Let's see here. How are we looking at time? We can go for another easily 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. So why don't Ryan, why don't you start, just for a minute or two, talk about the difference between the Protoss and the Zerg. You've now played a little bit of both, and which ones do you like, which one do you like better from your, so far, and why?
Well, I still do like the Protoss. I think playing the Zerg has helped me figure out what to do with, playing with the Zerg has helped me figure out what to do with the Protoss in the future.
Yes. You fought against them a little bit here.
Yeah, be more aggressive and just pretty much getting to know my enemy and how to shut you down.
It's a Zerg are all about aggressiveness, no doubt about that.
Yeah, exactly. But I do enjoy playing with the Zerg. My first impression with them was, dang, I can just get into the battle right away, get into the fray, and you maintain your ground an advantage, usually.
Yes.
And you can keep on building guys up quickly and keep on hammering away your enemies. So, yeah. I mean, they don't think very much, I don't think.
No, they really don't. They're animals. They're controlled by a single entity that's telling them what to do, and they go and kill stuff.
How smart is that entity?
I don't know. I really don't know. Varian. I'm going to assume Varian all-knowing.
Then why would you have... See, that's what I'm understanding. If you're an entity that's all-knowing and has unlimited knowledge, why would you have underlings that are stupid?
Because then you can control them.
If you have smart people, you can't control smart enemies.
If you have underlings that think stupidly and...
Well, no, they don't think at all. They don't think at all. They just do what they're told.
Yeah, they act purely on instinct, doing what they're told.
It's like the Borg.
Yeah, that's...
That's why I made comparison earlier.
Yeah, they're just like insect colonies. They know what they're supposed to do. They have a role, they do it. No questions asked. They die.
You think how much dysfunctionality there would be if they actually were smart and questioned what the heck they were doing.
Even more than Terrans.
That's why the Terrans are dysfunctional.
Yeah, the Terrans are very dysfunctional for a lot of reasons.
You know what? That's what Nuke did to your, you know, stupid Zerg.
I could see as far as if...
No, I'll kick them later.
If those of you watching want to play this game and you want to be aggressive and you want to get into the fray, the Zerg are definitely the faction to choose. And it's easy to...
If you want to be more methodical, you need to be the... You would like to be the Protoss,
where
you're a lot more strategic. Mm-hmm. They give you a lot of different opportunities, but you gotta be very
aggressive,
very clever about it. Though you have to be very, single pointed, like, and have actual, you know, set up good strategy for that turn. Like in this case, where I built...
Okay, well, I'm talking about Zerg now, not Protoss.
You know what?
Just interject. Protoss just keeps you thinking.
Yeah,
you
keeps have thinking. So let me run through my little spiel on the Zerg here I've got.
Okay, go ahead.
So let's run down the units. Zerglings. They're best for support. You get a lot of them. You have 9 of them. But the thing is, they just, well, suck when they're in frontline defense.
Yes.
But the reason they're one way they're great, because obviously you get lots of them to support your guys and hit them really hard. But the problem is, they're very vulnerable to splash damage. Like, we're talking about how there's several weapons that hurt only Zerglings and splash damage. So these guys can potentially die pretty quickly if you're not careful. But they're cheap. Send them in there a lot. And to make them really good, you want to pull out your metabolic boost card. Because, you know, when you kill people, you get better defense with that. So that's also an idea I'll talk a little bit later about what cards research and spend resources like crazy. Hydralisk, I often find, are often good for frontline attacks. At least early on in the game, because they obviously can shoot both land and air, so they will hold a little bit on their own against air, but the reality is, if they're not supported, they probably won't, most of the time, probably won't beat a Wraith, Scout, or Mutalisk, or anybody. They just don't have the numbers to do it. But against a lot of the basic ground units you're going to beat in the front, Hydralisk, packed up with a Zergling, will probably take care of them. Especially because, you know, you've got those little cards in here, where you get, if you have one supporting unit, you get the +1 attack. You want to deploy that in a combination with a Hydralisk Zergling. You now got an 8-9 attack. You're probably going to blow up just about anything you beat in the front line pretty early on. So also, let's keep moving along the lines here. We've got the Mutalisk. You guys can jump in if you want to say anything.
No, keep on describing it, because I'm just figuring out what to do with my next move now.
Yes, I'm telling them all the weaknesses.
Play this game, so.
The Mutalisks are probably the wussiest. Are they, by number-wise, are they... They're on par with the Wraith, but they're kind of the weak. I think they're kind of the weakest of the air units
because the Terrans have the cloak ability.
Yes, the Mutalisks don't have.
They're worms with bat wings.
Oh, yeah, but obviously the advantage of Mutalisks, they come the Guardian aspects, which become the most devastating units in the game to some extent. So you build them because they're really the only anti. Well, other than the Scourges, they're one of the few decent anti air units you got. Plus, they can get 8 attacks. 8 attacks will take down a battle cruiser. Kyle learned that lesson a while back.
That's only on my weakest one.
Yeah, a single Mutalisk can't kill a battlecruiser. Yes, yes, it can. Ultralisks. These things are beasts. They'll rip up anything they get. 8-9 attacks.
And I knew this already.
Yes. Get the Chitinous Plating. Get 10 defenses. So, I mean, you want to really use them mostly for assaults. Because, obviously, any intelligent player is going to come back at you and attack these guys. They're going to put an air unit on these guys so they can't possibly do any damage. So you want to really use them in a situation where you're going to be able to launch an assault and eliminate all air units, or eliminate all units in the area. So you take it over. They're massive tanks. Use them as such. Let's move along to my favorite units of all time, the Guardian Aspects. Obviously, they mutate from the Mutalisks.
Crabs.
They're Guardian Aspects. And they're
like, crabs?
They do.
Wait,
kind of,
do they fly?
Yeah, they fly.
Flying crabs.
But yeah,
I just had to say that.
They're powerful. They're also very powerful ground attack units. They obviously lack the air defense, so use them as such. So use them really in combination with Mutalisk or Scourges, which is kind of unfortunate. So they obviously suffer the weakness with the same with the Ultralisk, where any smart player who attacks you back is going to go ahead and assign an air unit to this thing.
Means you need to have some good anti-air defense.
Well, same idea. You attack with these guys and actually make sure you break the enemies before they can really come back and hurt you pretty bad. Or one thing you want to consider maybe, when you attack and destroy the enemies, if you can bring some guys back, bring the Guardians back. So then they're from basically ready to strike again instead of being on the defensive, because they don't really do all that well in defense situations. Because basically, unless... By this point in the game, the fact is they better have air units out or you're just annihilating them. So if an enemy sends a ground unit against one of these guys, is not an Archon, they're an idiot.
Yeah, I was going to say, the Archon's the smart one to do, because they have flying splash damage, yes, along with ground splash damage.
But even then, it's just a risk. You're probably going to lose the Archon.
If you have two of them, he destroys one, he destroys both of them.
Scourges. Heck of a lot of fun. Especially when they got that +1 Carabas research going on. They can basically survive. I think with that, the only thing they can't survive, I think, is the Emoto Gun and maybe an improved carrier, because they can get upwards of a 10 defense at best. They'll bring those things down in a hurry. One Bespane gas easily wipes those things out without a whole lot of difficulty.
Now, what do you mean it has a special flying attack? So How does that come out?
It blows off.
If you don't kill it, I kill you because I smash into you. Go kabloom. These things are flying balls of gas, and they explode, and everything around them dies. So, so then, like,
talk about kamikaze.
The interesting thing about these guys, they're actually good for defense. Because even though they have no real attack, like obviously an intelligent player would send ground units against them, they have a 9 defense, 9-10 defense. It doesn't matter if it's a ground unit that lives or survives to win the battle. These guys will probably survive anything you send at them, and therefore they will probably hold the ground for you. So having a couple of those around just to actually be defending is actually going to work pretty good because they have such high defenses.
Unless they put them up against the ground units.
Well, yeah, but see, the thing is, they can have a defense upwards of 10. I don't care if it's a ground unit, there's no ground unit that's going to do 10 points of damage. Archon can, but most of them can't. So, even if this guy survives the battle, you still win the battle. You hold the ground. Yeah. So even if they send ground units against you, you may not kill the ground unit, but they're going to retreat and you're going to hold the territory. So in terms of research cards, my favorite ones early on are obviously the metabolic boost. The reason I like the metabolic boost is early on you're probably not going to be using a lot of Vespain gas. So to use up your little Vespain gas reserves to start, bring that thing out to Vespain gas. Also early on, if you need to spend some things, the improved carapace, 1-1, that's a good little deal. Or just plan for later, guardian aspect. It's only one gas, so it's a good thing to use up some early gas you're not going to use anywhere else. The one guy I don't ever use is actually the defiler. And I really just never have. I know, I'm watching my time. So, I guess the reason why I don't use the defiler probably is because the whole idea of the special weapons are very specific conditions. Same with the queen. Though I do use the queen from time to time, mainly spawn broodling. That's not it. You may destroy one vulture, no. The one advantage the queen has, she is the only offensive, parasite, yeah, is the only offensive detector in your force. So if you want, since the overlords are transports and it's not actually on the ground, if you want to go up against someone that's cloaked, you got to have the queen, you got to have the parasite. Which means Zerg's biggest weakness is, the cloaked units.
Hence, we found that out when I nuked you.
Yes, you nuked me very well. And that'll keep coming back over and over and over again.
Wait, I destroyed both your Ultralisk and your Guardian at the same time?
So anyway,
hence proving that those are meant for attack and less defense. The Guardian and Ultralisk are more for attack than defense from that proven point.
Yes, they're more for attack than defense because they have glaring vulnerabilities to them. They're beasts, but they have glaring vulnerabilities to them.
I've only played this game 4 times, and I still don't understand half of what they're talking about. When it comes to skirmishes, so you don't have to be a genius to play this game. Just play it.
Okay, so we're going on about a little bit under 40 minutes here.
Sounds pretty good.
Yeah, I got a pretty good rambling on, I think. Well, let's finish up with one last little thing, I think. Do you guys have anything you want to talk about? Anything? What are you drawing?
There, I feel better now.
He wanted to draw something on there. He feels like...
Circle.
Feels compelled to use the board. The white
planet.
The main focus, though, is of any game is who you're playing and what type of strategy they use, though, in the end. As much as we can say, these are the strengths and weaknesses of each of the factions, it just all depends on which one you're playing against and what type of person you're playing. If you're playing against someone who's all defensive...
What's he doing?
I don't know.
I'm drawing. I'm drawing planets, okay?
Oh, okay. All right, fair enough.
It's very terrible drawings, but I'm still drawing planets. I wanted to draw something on the board. I'm going to draw something on the board, dang it.
Okay, well, Ryan's having a mental breakdown.
Let's go on to the new game.
Emotional breakdown.
Emotional and mental breakdown all in one. It's convenient that way.
And you guys thought it was going to be me who was going to go first.
I'm surprised I don't snap at some point here. Would you stop?
What?
You piece of crap.
Okay, you can erase it, Jason. You're just massive hysteria going on here.
See, the problem... Oh, good. This is a color that erases easy.
So Jason has antenna. for like 3 seconds.
Well,
enough of that zaniness.
Since we only have like 5 minutes left.
Yeah, 5 minutes left. Let's finish it up here. Holding My Hands, the rule book for Age of Confrontation. Wait, Age of Ragnarok Confrontation. I came to read the back of the rule book. I was looking at me. Age of Ragnarok Confrontation at Rackham Games.
It does say something there, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It just says the name. Yeah. Their latest game came out earlier, late December, early January something. New fantasy game, warband style game, squad based, war machinist. Oh, I'm talking too long. Haven't actually got a chance to play it yet, but read through the rule book. First impressions. No, Ryan and I, have you gone through the entire rule book yet, Ryan?
No, not yet.
Not yet. Okay, well, what's your first impressions a little bit?
Well, I already have my rating for it, but I'm not going to say that until the next episode. But my first impression of it...
You haven't even played the game.
It's amazing how you can already rate a game before you play it.
Yeah. Well, I found it enough.
You do it the reality, though, is you do it subconsciously, even if you're not aware of
well,
it.
Well, I may understand.
You do it with everything. You know, you look at something. What? You do it all the freaking time, Mr. Mister, what's that? That looks like crap. Like,
But then I play it, and then I decide from there. I don't actually rate it until I play it.
Not even a game. You make snap judgments about everything the first time you see it, regardless of whether you know anything about it or not.
Everybody does.
Anyway, everyone does. I do like the figurines. The figurines are a lot better than HeroScape.
Yes. And as long as they don't fall apart on you.
Yes. Well, only time will tell for that.
One's already falling apart.
That's good. Oh, there you go. Yeah.
It's got Whiskers syndrome.
The book is nice.
The book is beautiful. No doubt about that. The book is beautiful.
As the Vantage Raiders have found out, duct tape is your friend.
Yeah. But I guess my biggest issue at the moment is the fact that the starter set $70 is not worth $70. You get 14 figures. Yeah, they're beautifully painted. 14 plastic figures, not even freaking metal for $70. You get a plastic piece that's a little staircase, kind of rounded staircase. You get a mat, at least also doesn't suffer from Wizkid syndrome, and actually folds out properly. Poor Wizkid, because I make fun of way too much.
You're going to get a phone call, Jason, stop before we get you.
Yeah. But also, you get, what else do you get in there? Oh, a crappy tape measure that we're not sure if it's broken or if it's just defect, or like if it's broken so or if it, we just don't know how to use it right.
So, equivalent to the crappy WizKids ruler that they give us?
Well, it's a different type of crappiness. I mean, nothing wrong with WizKids rulers. They're actually kind of decent, except if you ever notice, they actually stretch out over the years. So you can actually get all the... Yeah. After about three years of playing Mecha with those rules, like they're about a half inch longer, which you all know is absolutely critical, because now you're enraged, the enemy's not. It's just screw people over time. From what I've read from the book so far,
the gameplay is a lot more like Lord of the Rings than it is HeroScape.
Yes.
Is that your impression of Jason too? So I'm not sure if I'm going to like it as much as HeroScape. We'll find out in the next podcast. So.
My impression was I want to be War Machine, but I'm not quite as good as War Machine. That's my initial impression. Look at the rules, but we'll see how the starter set goes. I don't have high hopes for the starter set. In fact, that I don't think it's going to give a very good, really, I guess a very good experience of the game, because there's not a lot of units in it. Mm-hmm. But I don't know.
And there's only going to be two of us that'd be able to play it.
Yeah, it's only two. Really, starter set's only two players.
Yeah.
So you need another either expansion or another star set.
Because there's obviously plenty more units you can buy but I'm not spending money for them right now.
Yeah, until you find out even if you like
it. Yeah, if you don't like it. But we'll see what happens. Maybe next episode, maybe two episodes later. Depends if we got time to sit down and play it. So, I guess I'm all talked out here. I'm coughing. And I'm out of water. It's tragic. Any other comments you guys want to make?
No.
Best Simpsons episode ever tonight, but anyway.
I believe this was, very good, very well done episode.
That's the Simpsons episode.
No.
That wasn't that well done episode as well.
Yes.
No, it wasn't. It was decent until the end. The end was just not right.
That's that one part of the whole heist stuff is hilarious.
Copyright.
What are you talking about? I don't think I'm going to care. Okay, anyway. I'm Jason.
I'm Ryan.
And I'm Kyle.
Questions, comments, why the heck we're still in the show, send us emails at jason@rocksoftware.com, rocksoftware.com.
Or if we're actually drunk with producing the show, there's always kyle@rocksoftware.com.
Have you checked that in the last 6 months?
No.
And you can't write me because I'm getting married.
Oh, for all the hilarity, that's a disturbing comment. You might want to read the YouTube comments. I'll put a link to our video section. Have a good night, guys. See you again in about 2 weeks, the next episode of the Tabletop Battlefield.
Copyright 2007-2008 Rocko Software, licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial License.
Get Your Music Down With Everything is by The Transfer and is acquired from www.podsafeaudio.com and is used in their Creative Commons license. Blizzard Entertainment Incorporated, StarCraft, and Blizzard Entertainment are trademarks and/or registered trademarks of Blizzard Entertainment Incorporated.